Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And it's Clint's favorite song, a little Motley Crue bringing us back. We're at NRG, baby. And we've got John McClain, the Hall of Famer, the general of Sports Radio 610, the Houston Chronicle. And John, look. And we've talked about this, but we got to give you full credit right now. Me and Clint and our program director, Armin Williams, are up in Green Bay. Many of us were for the joint practices. And, John, I'm reading an article on Texans Wire that you said on a podcast that that it was possible that, Aaron Colvin did not make this team. And me and Clint were looking at each other like, huh? And bam, there it is. After one game, they let go of Aaron Colvin. And, you know, we always say, you heard it here first. Well, you actually did hear it first from the great John McClain.
Well, I would like to take credit for it, but he hadn't done very well. And he did make the team. And he gets paid his $7.5 million base salary for being on the roster for the first game. But he had a terrible game, and he just didn't work out. And Washington signed him. I thought maybe Jacksonville would bring him back, but they're happy with D.J. Hayden as their third corner. If A.J. Boye can't play, he's questionable, then Hayden would move into the starting lineup opposite Jalen Ramsey. But I feel Colvin was a stand-up guy. He talked about his problems and how hard he needed to work and what he needed to overcome. And on that last, on the last play, the pass to Ted Ginn, Seth Payne had this on his laptop on Wednesday morning when I was on, and he had the sideline shot that showed all the corners did their job except one. You know, the safeties, they were playing quarters, and then they had the corners were supposed to get up on their guy, and Colvin was playing 5 yards off, and then when the ball was snapped, he turned to go backward, and then by the time he recovered, Ginn had done a hook. Breeze, of course, had read it. Boom. Took 4 seconds, 6 yard completion, timeout, game over. And, you know, everybody wishes Aaron Colvin well. He just, it was not a good fit for whatever reason.
Yeah, John, and I watched that same that coach's cut, and the people were making a big deal about the fact that J. Joe obviously was a little bit soft as well.
And he knew they were throwing a longer pass, and he right. closed when the ball was snapped.
That's why my man.
That's a veteran.
That's it. And that's a veteran take right there. You understand what it's a longer throw, and he sat. He didn't bail. The key to what Colvin did was Colvin lined up at about 7 yards deep. That's when Drew Brees recognized it. He bailed to about 9. He opened his hips to run the opposite direction and literally gave the route 5 yards cushion to be made, that throw to be made. And so this is what I – and tell me what you think about this, John, and you may have heard me say this, but I don't think any guy gets cut for one play. I really don't.
Of course not.
That was a long time coming. But the biggest thing, if you're sitting there and you're a coaching staff and you're watching the film, and all things considered, you know the build up to this point on Tuesday morning, you're watching that game, probably Monday night watching that game on the plane coming home, and you see a corner that you've got you absolutely are depending on to have – confidence through the roof. You see a lack of confidence in week one, and that's to me that is the deal killer relative to Colvin being on his team moving forward.
That's a great way to put it. A lack of confidence, that's what you do when you don't have confidence, and he didn't, and maybe he will get it back. He's a 6-year veteran, you know, he should know better than that.
Well, he's rich. He's walking away with a bunch of guarantees. I mean, he
That's
is,
a good
man.
Way to put it, Rick.
The dude's rich, all right? So don't feel bad about Aaron Colvin.
He's fixing a double dip, baby. He's fixing
yeah.
a double dip. Talk to us a little bit, John. Where do they go from here? I mean, obviously, Lonnie Johnson, second-round draft pick. They bump him in there. They've got to move some guys around. They've got to move some pieces around. Where do they go from here, and how do they feel about their options?
I think Bradley Roby will go inside, and we'll see Lonnie Johnson outside. They need to keep Johnson out so he doesn't have to think too much. And because he's, you know, when you go play major college football 1 year and then you're a second-round pick, you obviously have what they want, size, talent, speed. He's physical. He'll get up on a receiver and jam him, but he's going to make a lot of mistakes. But his career would be going up. Colvin's would be going down. And I think we're going to see more Keon Crossing. Keon Crossan, they traded him for him from New England. I was watching on the NFL Network last week, part three of Just Do Your Job, updated with Bill Belichick.
That's your favorite show.
It is, because it's so informative, and it was Josh McDaniels and Belichick standing in front of a monster screen explaining why they did all these things in a season in the playoffs, and a couple of times they're showing cameras on the sideline, and there's Crossan in the middle of the meetings. So he wasn't just a special teams player, so the coaches liked the way he played for his first game here. He's a small guy. I don't know what they list him, but he's not even 5'9", so he's an inside guy. So I would expect him to get a little action inside as well. One of the things I think they should do, Jay Joel stay on the outside. You know, if you look on the offense in this game, you look up and you'd see Hopkins inside or Stills, Fuller, Duke Johnson inside. They would move them around so they wouldn't give them the same look. And then I wouldn't surprise me if they don't do a little bit of that on defense as well.
John McClain hanging out with Clinton Campbell. We are at Energy Stadium, and it'll be Washington State against Houston tonight. Cougars on Cougars for the Advocare Texas kickoff. Tickets are still available. The game is at 8:15. So check them out. Pick them up right now and come on down here and watch some terrific college football. I think that Bradley Roby in the slot is going to work. I don't think it is a kick the tires experiment. I think it's going to work. Played a lot of slot corner in Denver. You know, we talk about inconsistency and choppy play. I have no pushback on that. I have no really response to that. We hope he can be consistent and chop wood every game at a very high level. But I do think he's a good option at slot corner. I would bet on it to work. Would you?
I think he can do it. A lot of it's attitude. It's different playing inside than it is outside. Most guys would rather play outside because you have to defend less of the field. But Roby's fast. He's quick. He's smart. He's been in the league. He should be able to make a smooth transition doing that. But he'll be covering a different type of receiver than he covers outside. You know, a guy who'd be real good at it, but they're not going to use him there, I don't think, would be Justin Reed, because he's got good speed and quickness and smarts, and he can run with anybody, but they wouldn't put him up there. If Tyrann Mathieu were here, he might go up there because he played in the slot a lot in Arizona. But Reed is too valuable on the back end.
But look, let's be honest. We talked about this yesterday. The team was better in a better position. We did a little Kareem Jackson, Tyrann Mathieu versus Gibson and Roby thing yesterday, and for what it's worth. But the team would have been in a better position to slide one of those, either Kareem Jackson or Honey Badger, down into that slot corner. It would have been good in a pinch, but let's be honest. None of those guys are going to be able to play slot corner at a high level with no help over the top. I mean, Bradley Roby has a chance because he's that good of a cover guy. Like he's got elite skills to where he can almost toy with guys with his speed. But all these other guys, they would struggle as well at that slot corner position with no deep help, the way that Aaron Colvin was put in that position on that 41-yard gain by Ted Ginn on Monday.
And I'll also point out that the guys you just mentioned were part of the secondary that was awful over the last five games of last season, which is one reason they didn't offer Kareem a contract. They did offer Mathieu a contract for $11 million a year. Kansas City, for some reason, gave him 14, didn't give him 12. You know, gave him 14, and he went for it, and good for him. But so they made these changes, and they've gone against a Hall of Fame quarterback. Now they're going against a sixth-round pick, a rookie who had one of the greatest debuts in history for a rookie quarterback coming off the bench, Gardner Minshew, whose mentor, Mike Leach, is going to be out here tonight. And I wrote a story about him today and got quotes from Leach. Thank you to Joseph Duarte from the Chronicle, who covers the Cougars. And got a lot of people talking about Minshew, and Romeo Crennel's 9-1 record against rookie quarterbacks since he's been with the Texans.
Where do they go from here on the D? I want to stay on the defensive side of the football. We got you for a while, so I want to try to stay dialed in on that. But the defensive side of the football, a lot of change is going to happen, obviously, because it's a different opponent. J.J. Watt struggled last week, or struggled. He just first time in his career didn't put up. He wasn't on the stat sheet. The Aaron Colvin issue, a lot has to change from week one to week two. What kind of changes on the defensive side of the football do you see?
They're going up against a rookie quarterback, so they'll be doing a lot of different looks, trying to change things to confuse Minshew. I would think, since they have, again, those 10 games against rookie quarterbacks in which they're 9-1, they have 18 sacks, and Watt has 13 of them. Watt's going against a rookie right tackle, Juwan Taylor. Their left tackle, Cam Robinson, is out, And obviously Taylor's going to need help with Watt. And based on how much attention Watt's goose eggs on the stat sheet, I would imagine he's going to come back with a vengeance.
I would as well. John, I do want to ask you about Minkah Fitzpatrick since we're talking defense. And I brought this up to Clint as, you know, the Miami Dolphins have granted him permission, him and his agent, to seek a trade to another team. And we've already poached Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills from the Dolphins. And I already see you getting uneasy in your chair right there. And he's giving me a big smile. Is it realistic at all that the Texans would get involved in maybe a pursuit of a Minkah Fitzpatrick?
They check out everybody. Fitzpatrick wants to be a corner. Dolphins like him as a safety. Texans don't need a safety. They need a corner. So if they put Xavien Howard, one of the best in the league, on the market, that would be different. But Minkah Fitzpatrick is not coming here. What would they give?
I don't know. I read that Miami wants at least a first-round pick, and then we can go from
there.
They
don't have one for the next 2 years.
So, I mean, with 3 years from now, zombies may be roaming planet Earth. Let's just give up the pick.
They've got a two this year, plus they should have three threes, but there's no way I would give that up for a player who might be unhappy with his role here as well as he is.
That'd be a hell of a deal, John, if Texans give up that other number two next year
to the
Dolphins again.
But it's possible. I mean, probably not. I'm just bringing
it
up.
It's not possible.
I'm a big fan. And, hey, you called the Aaron Colvin thing. You said that Trent Williams ain't coming here, and you were right about that. We're hanging out with John McClain. We do it every Friday in the 4 o'clock hour, usually from Little Woodrow's, and that's where Landry and Lopez are right now, Little Woodrow's in Bel Air. We're at the NRG Stadium in advance of the Avacare Texas kickoff tonight. Houston Cougars and the Washington State Cougars. Going to be a terrific college football game. And next, with the general, we'll look at the offensive side of the ball. We'll talk about the matchup between Nuke Hopkins and Jalen Ramsey next on Clinton Kamla.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.